Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Numbers.
Book of Numbers and chapter 32.
Appropriate song that was sung this morning. Jesus said that he was the rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a wild world that we're living in, and you got to remember this. There's a rock. You're not in this alone. Please remember this. The preacher can't always help you, you know, and your parents aren't always going to be around. But if you get born again and you develop that relationship with Jesus Christ, you got a rock. And you can be more than thankful for that. Let me just read verse 6 of chapter 32. Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God and that which is going to be preached this morning. We ask God for a special anointing. I want to communicate. I want to teach. I want to connect the word of God to all of our lives. I can't do that in myself. Man, I'm just a sinner. I know who I am. I know what I am. But I also understand I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and I've been called of God to preach. So Lord, help me to share the word of God in a way that everyone will understand this morning. And God, would you bless? If there are people here in our midst that aren't born again or watching live stream or even listening to a radio broadcast and they're not saved, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them as the Savior? And God, may they call upon you best way they know how and be adopted into the family of God this morning. We pray, God, that you'd build this church for your glory and every Philadelphia church in America and around the world. Lord God, we pray that the churches would be on the march for the cause of Christ. And we'll thank you for every victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. We read here in Numbers in chapter 32 and verses 5 and 6. I just read verse 6. Moses leading the children of Israel as an army, conquering fortress cities as they go along, and peoples as they go along. They're called of God to take the land, and they're getting ready to move on to a battle, another battle. And as they're doing that, a couple of the tribes say, we want to stay here. We want to stay on this side of the, we raise cattle. This land is perfect for this. And that's where Moses asked this question, verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, the other 10 tribes, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? You see, it's more than just my family that's involved, even in this church expansion that we are involved in right now. It's more than, well, my kids are saved and you don't know your grandkids are saved. You don't even know for sure that your kids are saved. You say, well, I've got my household taken care of. Let the rest of the world go to hell. You realize what you're saying? You realize how wrong that is? You realize there's a whole world outside us? There's communities outside us in every direction in three counties. 38,000 people in this county. Luce County at a little over 10,000. What's the county? Mackinac County, south of us, between 5 and 6,000. You realize there are 6,000 people in Kinross Township? Even though this is country, this is a pretty populated township in which we live. And God has strategically put us here. And there are so many others that we need to reach. And I'll make you this promise before I get into the meat of the message here this morning. Whatever we build will be filled in 2 years. I promise you that. Jesus is coming soon. There's a work of God that needs to be done. We're not getting any younger. I understand my time is limited. I understand that there's a great work of God to do. Let me give you a little vision, and then we're going to 1 Corinthians. Right now, this middle section, I wrote it down. If you went by the fire marshal standards, and everybody has 2 feet for your shoulders, in this middle section right now, 188 people, 84 people, 65 people, 65 people, 17, another 17 people on the sides and in the back. That means 394 people, include the choir. That's how a fire marshal would look at it. He would even count the organist that seat and the piano player that seat. That would give us just shy of 400 people. We put on these wings, we're going to be just shy of 690 people. We're expanding that much. Now, that's according to fire marshal seating people. we know that we have seated a lot more people than 394 people in this auditorium. That's not including chairs. That's squeezing it up just a little bit. That kid's taking a little less room. Man, I'm telling you, we have to prepare. The church of Jesus Christ is a marching army. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. I want to give you a charge. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. We're a charge ahead church. We are a getter done church. This church, a church our size in the middle of nowhere, we got Canaanland Bible Camp. Junior Camp 1 starts tomorrow. That place is going to come alive out there. And God has entrusted us with a wonderful facility thanks to God's good workers and God's good provision of the people in this church and other churches as well. It's actually a beautiful camp. And I'm not ashamed of it at all to show it to another preacher. And every one of them say the same thing. Wow, this is wonderful. Who owns this camp? God owns this camp. Fundamental Baptist Church, but God owns this camp. We have no debt here on the church grounds here and the buildings that we have. And what we are going to build without debt. We are going to have aggressive faith and heavenly wisdom and just build and spend what we have as we go along. I'm sorry, I do have to tell you this. So we're going to expand from this wall this summer, unless God brings some more money in. But we're building from this wall out that way all the way back to the last window. Right to the last window. And we're going to expand out. So the seating is going to be kind of fan out in this direction. And you say, how are we going to do it? We're going to do it by the grace of God. We're going to do it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to be that city that is set on a hill that I've been preaching about for a month. I don't want to be a village in the valley. I want to be, and one guy down there said, well, you know what you are? You're a big fish in a little pond. I said, yeah, and I like it that way. I really do. I want everybody in the area to know about the God of Fundamental Baptist Church. I want them to know about Jesus. So listen to this charge here this morning, and I just pray that God will get a hold of your heart. Chapter 9, let me do some summarizing. Paul has enemies. Paul even has enemies that are born again in the church of Corinth. And they're murmuring. And they're complaining. And they're whining. And they're rejecting his leadership and his apostolic authority. Yes, Paul had people in the family of God that were not on the same page as the Apostle Paul. And he reprimands them by saying, listen, I've taken nothing from you. And I will take nothing from you. I am above reproach. And I'm giving you great Bible truth. And listen to his charge. It says in verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written unto these things that it should be so done unto me. It's always, you know, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that howls is always the one that got hit. The one that's murmuring, the one that's complaining, they're probably the ne'er-do-good person that's doing nothing out there, but they know how everything ought to be done. And I don't hear a lot of that here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And I thank God for that because I got thin skin and you might hurt my feelings. So I don't hear a lot about that. And I'm grateful to God for that. But listen, there's always those that don't have faith. They think it ought to be done a different way. And here's the way my daddy did it. And this is the way that we ought to do it today. And I'm sorry for that, but the church is still going to march on. And the church is still going to move ahead for the glory of God and his glory alone. Paul said, I didn't take any money from you, and I'm glad I didn't. Because there's a few of you out there that think I'm in it for the money. God help you. What he tells us in these next several verses is, I'm in it for souls. I'm in it for people. So we're going to begin our building this summer, but we're not taking our eye off the ball. We're in it for souls. There's going to be a great crew of workers from this church, and not only this church, out at Canaanland for a good portion of the rest of the summer. And we're there for souls. Paul describes this real well. Now, a lot of you know that I coached football for 20 years. Some of you helped me coach. Steve's here this morning. I coached a lot of you. I'm grateful for you. It was a great run in a lot of ways. In the beginning, I coached for records, and I didn't do too good at that. No, I finally started coaching and trying to build up young men and build young men for the glory of God, whether they knew it or not. One thing I remember about coaching is the authority I had. Isn't it great to be a head coach? Isn't it great? Where's Steve at this morning? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I outed him. You tell him that, all right? Josh, where you at? Great to be a head coach. Greg, great to be a head coach. You blow the whistle, Everybody listens. You walk through the varsity locker room. Everybody sits up a little taller. People stop talking. I love that. Wouldn't it be great if we could pastor churches, if I could pastor a church like I coach a football team? You know, like be General Patton. JV football players quake in their boots. It's Coach Raider. Oh, yeah. And they think I'm meaner than what I really am. Man, it'd be wonderful. I could blow the whistle. Hey, buddy. And by the way, Acme Thunderer, the man's whistle. Not like they use today that has no little P in it. It's called the fox whistle. It's tweet. I said, oh, you got to be kidding. There's no authority in that. It's got to have a growl. And that Acme Thunderer, if I blew it in here right now, I would have everybody's attention. All right? But that Acme Thunder, I could blow the whistle and say, hey, buddy, that's the second week in a row that you're late for Sunday school. Give me 25. I would love that. Blow the whistle. Lady, I don't like the way you looked at me just now. I want you to give me three laps right now. Right? That would be wonderful. Maybe not a lot of people would come to this church, but it would be wonderful to have that kind of authority. But listen, I'm going to preach this morning with the authority of the Word of God. It won't be deep. Let's fly through it real quickly. It says here in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If only more people would understand in the church of Jesus Christ the necessity of being evangelistic. If only more people would understand, and Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Man, a dispensation of time is committed against me. I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my lifespan. If I preach not the gospel with all that God has given to me, woe unto me. If more people would understand that people are dying all around us, even teenagers, they are dying without Christ. They're going to go to hell. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And that dispensation is a period of time. So I have been given a period of time. I got saved in 1968, and whatever year it is right now, 2023, I give an account for that. I give an account for all the people that I rub shoulders with. And I can think a lot of them over the years that I never preached to, I never talked to, I never testified to. We're going to give an account. And you can't undo the past, but you can take care of the present right now and prepare for the future and be that person that is evangelistic in every area of your life. So important, so important. Let's read on here a little bit more. Verse 18 says, what is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. God knows who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. That's not my job. That's not my job. That is not the job of the church of Jesus Christ. Even in the kingdom, there'll be tares among the wheat. That's not our job. Our job is to preach the gospel. Our job is to be evangelistic and tell others of Jesus. Man, it is hot in here. Let me get this hanky. I went in and got a second one. It's going to be a two hanky morning this morning, I think. That helps me preach short, though. You ought to take heart in that. Okay, number one, get on the team. Get on the team. Let me go back to football. I'm going to a couple of football illustrations this morning. When I was a freshman in high school, I was in a hitting drill, and the freshman team and the varsity team and the junior varsity team, we were all together, preseason. That's when men were men, and we had three practices a day in preseason. And then we hayed around that. So that was a tougher time, fellas, all right, for your younger fellas. The older guys, you know all about it. That's when coaches used to run players to death trying to get people to quit so they could purge the weak ones off of the team. That's the era that I grew up in. Anyway, I was in this hitting drill, and I got lined up across from a senior. And I remember his face. I can't remember his name. But I remember thinking, and he was a starting lineman. I'm thinking, oh, no, how did this happen? And I got down on my three-point stance, and I've been listening to the coaches, and I knew what a hairline tackle was. That's when you lead with the head, and you put that part of your head right on his numbers or on his face mask, whatever is lower, and you're going to drive him back with your feet. I knew that. I had listened. I hadn't done it yet. Now it's time to do it. I didn't get to play junior high football. Blew the whistle. I hit him and just happened to knock that senior back on his backside, and Coach DeBaker was walking behind us, and he never stopped calling me this. Timmy Raider, that's exactly what I want to see. Timmy, that's a good job right there. Next thing I knew, next week, they're handing out varsity uniforms, and he gave me one. I thought, good grief, what am I? Coach, He said, I want you to wear it. I said, oh. So there I was playing on Friday night with the varsity. Now, I didn't play much. Kind of a wasted year other than practice. Last 2 minutes of every game, Timmy Rader went in the game. I was a freshman. All right? Back then, they shot the gun for the two-minute warning. You remember that, Don Bell? No? Yeah. Okay. They didn't need a gun where I played football because, bang, Timmy Rader, get in the game. I'd go run out there and try to get my one or two tackles in the last 2 minutes of the game. And then we'd celebrate after the game. We'd celebrate. I think our record was, we played 6-2 that year, my freshman year. And I remember, well, all right, yeah, yeah. But I was celebrating on the outside, but it wasn't on the inside. You know why? Man, I didn't get off the bench. It really wasn't my win. Number one, get the uniform on, like Paul's telling us here. Get on the team. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Just go over a couple of pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. And all through that chapter, he's teaching body life. He's teaching that the family of God, the New Testament church, is like a body. And we've all got a place. We've all got a spot. Get on the team. There is a position for everybody. There's 11 offense and 11 defense. On a football team, there are 55. When you take special teams, there are 55 positions. There is a position for everybody in the family of God. There is a work and a calling of God that you're supposed to do and fulfill while you're here on this earth. Maybe you don't sing. Maybe you teach. Maybe you don't teach. Maybe you clean. Maybe you don't clean. Maybe you help with curriculum. But there's a place for everybody on God's team. Get on the team and get off the bench. Don't stay on the bench. That's where the murmurers are. That's where the complainers are. That's where the people that know what the coach should have done, the Monday morning quarterbacks. But they don't bleed. They don't sweat. They're not out there doing the work of God. Get on the team. Get off the bench. Verses 18 and 19, it says, for what is my reward? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge. Verse 20, says, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. You're not unfamiliar with this. That I might gain them that are without the law. So we can't just do everything we want. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I said this earlier in the spring. Let me say it again. God doesn't work for us. Man, you don't demand things of God. You're not worshiping the God of heaven. And you're in for a big awakening someday. God doesn't jump when we say jump. I thought about this when I was, because I forgot the tithe this morning. I had to go back and get it. We don't give God a tithe. We bring God his tithe. That's biblical. That is right. God does not work for us. So get on God's team. Get off of the bench and get busy for God. Play to win. Look what it says in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Need to hustle. Need to get it together. You know that in the game of football, every play theoretically is a touchdown. If 11 players fulfill their obligation, you score 6 points every time. Wouldn't it be something if the Church of Jesus Christ started running on all 8 cylinders? It might sound like I'm chewing you out this morning. I'm not. I'm trying to encourage you. Man, get in the game. Get on the team. Get in the game. Prepare to win. I fight not as uncertainty, the Apostle Paul said. I'm not one that beats the air. There is a purpose to what I am doing. So prepare to win, because the Church of Jesus Christ is made to win. We're to be aggressive, and we're to run all. Look at verse 26. Oh, look at 25 one more time. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Tempered. Plays by the rules. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, trophies, but we an incorruptible. We are to play like men. I think it was last Sunday morning's text, 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. Be strong, David said to his son, be strong and show yourself a man. Paul said to this very same church in the church of Corinth, quit you like men, act like men. I know I harp on this. I don't like what I see in America. I don't like the chickification of America. I don't like the softness. I don't like going to Bible colleges and seeing what I would say is, there's nothing wrong with being from the city, but praise God, we're country people, right? The citified kind of pampered, is my hair straight? Oh my goodness. That's one sin I have no problem with, by the way. You know, I just, there's so much of that in America, on the right and on the left. Obviously on the left and even on the right. And you know it, and I know it. And so let me just say this simply. In the family of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying. I'm talking to the women when I say this too. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about heart attitude. Play like men. I used to shout that. That's the one thing I remember shouting all the time. All the time. Even back in the 80s and 90s. Play like men! I remember when Pickford was playing, I don't know who it was, Josh, you remember, but it was in the snow. It was a playoff game. And I get as close as I can to the sidelines in the big games. In the games that aren't so big, I don't shout too much because it tires me out. I'm just a fan. You know, I'm just a grandpa and a pastor. So I'm not going to waste my voice on Friday night. But when they get to the big games, and I remember it was a big game, and there was this much snow on the ground, and man, Pickford needed the ball back. They had to have the ball. And you could see the defensive line letting down just a little bit. You could see guys are dinged up and, you know, and bloodied up and bruised up, and they're sore. There's nothing like football to toughen a young man up. And his mama isn't out there on the field. And you know, they're playing hurt, and they're exhausted. It's the fourth quarter. It's inside 2 minutes. And I got to as close as I could to the sideline. And every single play, when everything got real quiet, I made sure everybody on that defensive line heard me. Play like men. Say, look at me. Play like men. And you know, just like, okay, I can do it one more time. I can do it one more time. That is so big. We need that in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know how many people get, oh, I got offended. Good gravy. What would you do in real war? You know, in 1905, 19 college football players died playing the game of American football. They were gonna cancel football. They were gonna eliminate it from American culture. Teddy Roosevelt came to their rescue, and I'm glad they did. Now they changed a lot of rules. It's not quite war like it was back then, but that American football readied the young men of this country from the country and from the city for World War I. They got over there in those muddy trenches and they said, you know what, this is tough, but I think I can do it. It readied the men for World War II. Man, we have got to develop that military mindset without being regimented, without being stiff, without being standoffish to people. Be wide open and love every sinner. But we've got to play the game like men. Play like men. And then the last thing, look at the last verse. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Greek word for castaway in the Textus Receptus is unapproved. It's like the jar that can't be used anymore. Maybe it's got a crack or something in it. And you take it off and you put it up on a shelf and it becomes a pencil holder or something like that. Still there, but unapproved. Not a servant that God can use. Staying with the football thinking this morning, don't fumble the ball. Man, don't quit. Don't give up on God. Not now. Not. We're right at the end of the church age. There were people this week that you had a divine appointment with, and I hope you brought Jesus into the conversation. I hope that you told them about your God and your Savior. I'll promise you this, you do that regularly, you'll be leading souls to Christ. And it'll happen regularly. It won't happen every time, but it'll happen a lot. All you've got to do is bring Christ. Practice the presence of God. Don't quit now. So many churches, their past, they've had a glorious past, and now they're just shells of what they used to be. They don't give an altar call. Man, they don't preach the Bible. They don't stand up and stand for a holy God in heaven. It just keeps getting more and more liquid down, watered down. It gets more and more diluted along the way. And with every generation, every 10 years, every decade that passes, they get a little further, a little less zeal, and a little less fire. And I've seen it. I know of no exceptions. I've seen that so many times all over the state of Michigan. Churches that were one time red hot and on fire. The 60s and the 70s were great times for the Church of Jesus Christ. Man, great churches were built. Now some of them are off the rails. They've been poisoned along the way. Let's not let that happen here. So God's blessing us. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We get the additions on. Maybe yet this year, maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, we get the pews. We get the elevator. We get the things up front that we need to have. You know, I'm excited about that. But you know what? If we take our eye off the ball between now and then, we fumble the ball. I'm done preaching here this morning. And since I tried to bring football into this several times, and you know, I've done this before. Right now, we're inside the two-minute warning. Let me talk to the church. Let me preach to the choir this morning. This is a good summer crowd. We usually lose attendance in the summertime. This is a good crowd. This is a pretty full crowd. There's a few empty places, but this looks good. And I want you to know we are inside the two-minute warning. The trumpet is going to sound. It won't be long, and we can hear, if we're a Philadelphia church, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And by the way, I want to be a Philadelphia church when that trumpet sounds. I want to be that church that's aggressive, holds on to the truth, blue collar. That's all there in the book of Revelation. Blue collar, and they have the power of God, and God has opened to them a door, and no man can close it. Man, that's the kind of church that we need to be. We need to develop that all of the time. Let's not fumble the ball. Been here 43 years. We haven't always been running on all cylinders. We've gone through some cycles of dryness and times of great revival. I want to, right here, inside the 2 minutes, I want to win. I want the ball. They're driving on us. They got the ball. We got to stop them. The devil's on the march. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Legislation has just got to pass one more step in Michigan, and what I'm doing this morning is hate crime, and it's coming up to the vote. All right, that's where we live, but that's okay. So we're in the visitors' field, no problem. So the crowd is cheering the other side, no problem. We're playing for the King. We're playing for the King of Kings. The devil's got the ball right now, and here's what's got to happen: we got to get that football. That football is souls. Going back to coaching days, timeout, walk in the huddle. Guys, they're inside the 10-yard line. If they score, we lose. And if we get that ball back, they can't score. If they never score, I'm talking about the devil, we'll never lose. But if we never score, we'll never win. That's why football on the defensive side of the field needs to be an offensive defensive unit. Man, that's where we are. That's where we got to live. We got to communicate. In football, the cornerbacks, the defensive backs, the safety, the linebackers, the linemen, the defensive end, we all got to be one unit. I used to tell them that all the time. We got to work as one team. We're not individuals out here. So yell what you see. When that ball is finally passed, you guys in the defensive line, you linebackers, you're yelling, ball, 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 ball. When the quarterback's going back, you're yelling, pass, 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 ball, ball, ball. Now I look, I read my hand, I look back, I catch the ball as a defensive back, I yell, bingo. Everybody on the defense knows, now I'm blocking. Now we got the ball. This is right where coach wanted us to be, and we're going in the other direction. The devil's got the ball, and he's moving, and we're inside 2 minutes. We got to get the ball. I used to look at the guys and say, look me in the eyes, guys. Look me in the eyes. Every one of you look at me. I want the ball. I want the ball. Strip it. Put your helmet on it. Get the football. Souls. That's why we're here. Oh, we disciple them. And we'll grow them, and we'll get them on the team, and we'll get them off the bench. But we as a people, we got to get the ball.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.